Motives. Motives matter. But how do we, as people, understand what other people's motives are, or even our motives? Psychology offers a group of standard motivations, such as survival, pleasure, autonomy, purpose, meaning, love, connection, reputation, respect, success, and power and control. But the darker side of human motivation, particularly when it drives us and it goes unchecked, can include competition, envy, lack of empathy, materialism, power, control, validation, and personal gain. The way human beings express these motivations can vary according to our innate biology, our learned behaviors, and the intensity of our own desires. But the bottom line comes down to this. We are what we most value. Our core values are largely determined by our motivations. Now, we as human beings can overcome much of our past, of our learned behaviors, our urges, and our impulses when we prioritize values to guide us. Now, this is just not a philosophical speculation, but goes all the way back to Greek philosophy and the Bible itself. So within the stories of Scripture, we see countless examples of desires and impulses that run amok, as well as hero stories in the Bible, those who overcame their motivation through faith and commitment, compassion, and their relationship with God. So take the Ten Commandments, for example. Look at the parables. Look at the prophecies within Scripture. They all serve as correctives to human penchants for control, for autonomy, for power, materialism, competition, envy, validation of some personal gain. And Jesus understood these human urges as well. So he went through them himself in the wilderness, if you remember back in Luke chapter 4. 40 days he was tempted. And likely struggled at other times as well when challenged by Peter, likely in prayer, and certainly in the Garden of Gethsemane. One of his greatest gifts to humanity that we see is his ability to overcome even his survival motivations in favor of empathy and compassion, sacrifice for the greater good, love and devotion to God's master plan to redeem and heal humanity. Salvation and salience in the human creature, so to speak. As we read in the Scripture, Jesus spent some of his last time on earth training his disciples for evangelism and mission. And in doing so, he drives home the importance of knowing that our motives matter. Not just because of what we do, but why we do it matters very much. And always like this, they talk about critical thinking in some of the things in our society now. We don't practice critical thinking so much in the schools. But the whole thing is the notion of why. Why? That's what we should do. Why? We'll always, sooner or later, detect and determine who we are, and we'll then change what we do or how we do it. I think another way of saying this is simply beware of the pearls of power and ego. It's possible to become high on success to the point that you think, well, it's all because of me. Look at me, I'm wonderful. But remember Jesus' wisdom about serving two masters. So when you're high on yourself, you're generally low on God. And that means God is no longer directing your life, your values, or more importantly, your motives. High on God, humble on you. That's an entirely different ballgame than one which you're serving as a true disciple of Christ. The scripture I just read, Jesus was in the midst of training 72 disciples. And he had just sent them out and paved the way, giving them directions on how to behave. He empowered them to heal, to proclaim, offer peace, and to banish unholy spirits. The experiment had few glitches because the group came back super high on their success and bragging that even the demons, they submitted to us in your name, Lord. That's great. Look at these. I use your name and wow. How cool am I? Even the spirits fear me. To save, not to condemn. To proclaim, not to rebuke. To bless, not to overpower. Because the issue of human motive would be the greatest threat to Jesus' mission as he prepared to leave his legacy to the many disciples, which has now been passed down throughout over 2,000 years. And every step of the way in his training of his successors, he would encounter motivations that would counter the lessons that he wanted them to learn, demonstrate, and impart to others. Yet, he never grew tired of trying. That's what he was an overcomer, because he never grew tired of trying. And I think this is one of the most miraculous truths about God throughout the entire Bible and throughout our lives. God never gives up on us. God never gives up trying to keep our focus on the way, the truth, and the life because of Christ. The Word is the way to life and how we can have it more abundantly. So we can see Jesus' message in the words of his disciples. Proclamation. Jesus said, I have given you power over the realms of sin and evil, but I love the buts in the end, but do not revel in this as though you just aced your last test all on your own. No, your motive matters. Instead of being joyful and assured that you're a blessing in doing God's work in the world. God's work is not your work, but we're called to do it. So if you remember this, and not in your doing, but in God's doing. This is not your power, but God's power. You do not have power over others. We think we do sometimes, but all we think about it, you convince a person against your will, they'll be of the same opinion still. You do not have power over others, as much as we like to think that we do. Only God has power over others, so we got to be responsible as Christ followers, and don't let the power go to your head. Or your apostleship will become corrupted and you will not accomplish God's mission in your life, but only on your own. You'll accomplish yours, maybe, but not God's. And Jesus needed them to understand that their mission would be to heal, not to harm. So whenever you enter a town, he told them, cure the sick and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. Now this is just not a message of doom, it's a message of hope, and it's not a message of power or control or one-upmanship or arrogance, but a message that says God cares about every one of you. God can heal, God can change, God is near to you, and God loves you. That's it. It takes all that to change the world one life at a time, according to Jesus. Now, some may not listen, he told them. Some may reject you. Some may not receive you. And if so, simply keep on trucking. But those who do, you have instilled God's blessing. I call it seed planting. Because God's mission is not complex. It's a mission of love and healing and salvation and grace. And what makes it complex in our motivation when we, or whatever, our mission becomes more about us and our success than about God's blessings of God's people. And all throughout history, we can see this. So how do we overcome undesirable motivation, preacher, and ensure our honor of God's mission? By staying close to God. I like what also says in the Psalm, be still and know that I am God. Stay close to God by focusing on Jesus, by walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, then remembering to keep in check our own agendas, our desires, our biases, and our judgment. Hard to do? Yeah, it's hard to do. It's extremely hard to do. But that's why we need Jesus. And welcoming the Holy Spirit of Christ into our lives, into our hearts, into our minds, and in the direction of our actions, we ensure that our faith informs our motivation. And the more we practice our faith, the more our actions follow. Doctors are in practice. Lawyers are in practice. Christians are in practice. Think about that. As human beings, this is never a once-and-done experience, and we don't magically become superhuman angels once we accept Christ in our lives. We will still be fallible human beings, susceptible to all kinds of emotions, drives, desires, and needs. So, to truly change our heart requires God's intervention. intervention. Faith is not a philosophy, but something that we practice and submit to every single day in prayer, in communion, in scripture, in meditation, and the awareness of God and the respect for God's mission more than our own. Musicians, sports pros, artists, surgeons, they all tell you, practice makes perfect. Travis practices a lot. As humans, we may never be perfect, but practicing your faith will definitely make you more in tune with Christ and the mission of His church. So as we take this moment to be in communion with God, as we come either to the table or in our pew, and we participate in the sacrament of Holy Communion, my prayer is that your heart would be aligned with the will of Christ, the sacrifice of Christ, the love of Christ, and the call on your life.